Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Cyber Media Radio Show.
Cyber Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
hate. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to leave you with one of the two keys, either bitter or better.
Cyber Media Radio, topic today is a family secret. Incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Cyber Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster, like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world, but it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
At generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, March 19, 2015, and you're listening to the Cyber Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, General Manager of Cyber Media Group, and joining me today is my panel. First, she's a social worker as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey, Sean Defense, a.k.a. IQ. What's happening, IQ?
Nothing much. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys again on this evening.
Great, great, great to have you on. And he's a writer, rapper, and a counselor with troubled youth in Atlanta, Georgia, Sean Ennis, a.k.a. Wise. What's happening, Wise?
Making it, man. Glad to be here. Long live the revolution.
A.k.a. Rocky.
Now, and our phone lines are open at 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. Remember, our blogs are open, but you'll need to register with us on blogtalkradio.com/cybermediaradio. And there's still our Facebook page at Cyber Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A Media Radio. Remember, Cyber Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on music production, film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. So before we get started today, I just mentioned this briefly to the co-host here, but we are a go for the radio station. So we are working on that now. And Cyber Media Radio is going to be around in this format probably until the end of June. And then we are off until September, where we will launch our new radio station, which should have multiple shows for different people that who were on Blog Talk and have done a couple other things. So this is a great thing for us. And I think that towards the end of June, we're going to have like a celebration where we have a lot of different people on, et cetera, you know, for us ending the reign with Blog Talk, who's been pretty good to us. So just want to let you guys know that. All right?
All right.
All right.
It's a big move.
It's a big move, man. It's a lot of responsibility, you know. We're going from having a half an hour show to having a show that's on the air 24 hours a day. You know, that's a big thing, so, you know. But we'll work through it, and I think through that we can do everything from music to, you know, topics. We can have different shows. We can have a show on discussing people's lyrics. We can have a show on social issues like we do here. There's just so much we can do, you know. The sky's the limit. But we'll get into that a little bit later this season about exactly what we're going to do and, you know, when we're going to make that move, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime,
right,
still got to work. So today's topic is why the Muslim and Jewish hatred. So check this out. A few years ago, I worked for a company, and this guy who was sitting next to me, he was from the Middle East. I can't remember which country specifically. We like to say the East, you know. But he had this picture on his desk, And I asked what was the picture of, and he proceeded to explain how this animal, this was a Jewish person who was considered the evil pig who rides the back of the Muslim. Needless to say, he and the only other Jewish guy who worked there, they didn't get along at all. Now, at the time, I couldn't understand the hatred. You know, I was younger. You know, I didn't really get it. But when you study and you read, you learn a lot when you become conscious. So why the hatred between these two religions? And I think it's more than religion, but we'll get into that in a minute. Let me be clear. Now, I'm not saying that all Jewish people hate all Muslims or all Muslims hate Jewish people. That's not the case. But having said that, let me read you the following, which seems to break down the origin of the conflict in more ways than one. Now, this first thing, this is from gotquestions.org, and I was just going through it and trying to reference it through history because this is a beef that's been going on for a number of years. So here it is. If there is an explicit biblical explanation for this animosity, it goes all the way back to Abraham. The Jews are descendants of Abraham's son Isaac. The Arabs are descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael, with Ishmael being the son of a slave woman, and that's Genesis 16:1-16, and Isaac being the promised son who would inherit the blessings of Abraham. That's Genesis 21:1-3. Obviously, there would be some animosity between the two sons. As a result, Ishmael's mocking Isaac, which is Genesis 21:9. Sarah talked Abraham into sending Hagar and Ishmael away, and that was Genesis 21:11-21. Likely, this caused even more contempt in Ishmael's heart towards Isaac. An angel told Hagar that Ishmael would be the father of the great nation. And interestingly, that Ishmael would be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all of his brothers. However, the ancient root of bitterness between Isaac and Ishmael does not explain all of the hostility between Jews and Arabs today. The religion of Islam, which a majority of Arabs follow, has made the hostility predicted of Ishmael more profound. The Quran contains somewhat contradictory instructions for Muslims regarding Jews. At one point, it instructs Muslims to treat Jews as brothers, and at another point, it commands Muslims to attack Jews who refuse to convert to Islam. Now, keep in mind that as I'm reading this, I have not seen that in the Quran at all, and I have read the Quran, but I'm just referring from the site here. It says the Quran also introduces a conflict as to which son of Abraham was truly the son of promise. The Hebrew of Scripture say it was Isaac. The Quran says it was Ishmael. The Quran teaches that it was Ishmael whom Abraham almost sacrificed to the Lord, not Isaac. This debate over who was the son of promised father contributes to today's hostility, supposedly. Another root of the conflict between Jews and Arabs is political. After World War II, when the United Nations gave a portion of the land of Israel to the Jewish people, the land was ruled by the British and primarily inhabited by Arabs. So most Arabs protested vehemently against the new Israelite state, even as they refused an Arab-Palestinian state offered as part of the UN plan. Arab nations, including Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Syria, attacked Israel in an attempt to drive them into the sea, but they were defeated. The defeat of the Arab forces soon became a human tragedy when the surrounding Arab nations refused to absorb the Arab refugees from Palestine. Ever since 1948, there has been great hostility between Israel and Arab nations. The tensions have been stoked by political rhetoric and existence of groups such as Hamas, and their continuing obsession with wiping out the Zionist entity and reversing the results of 1948. It can also be said about the Jews and certain things they do, which we'll get into tonight. So I'll start with you, IQ. Do you agree that the conflict between Israel and Palestinians as it is today are due to religion or to politics?
I can see where spiritually, there's a basis for their conflict, but we can also see where politics play a part in why the conflict can still remain and be as hostile. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, I really don't care what you call your God. If love is not the basis, or if love is not the root of whomever it is you're worshiping, I think you might want to question whomever it is. Now, I can understand the Quran saying, love your Jewish brother, because I know God to be a God of love. I can't see where the Quran would condone conflict between the Muslims and anybody due to the fact that God is a God of love. We don't even need to get into the political aspect of it, because I would feel some type of way if somebody told me that where I've been living and what I know as home now has to be divided and I now have to share it by force. I mean, yeah, I would feel some type of way, definitely.
I don't recall the Quran ever saying to attack anyone. I do believe that it does advocate for self-defense if someone attacks you. But I've never seen where it actually outright attacks. And maybe, Wise, you can enlighten us a little bit of this, too, because I know you studied as well. I've never seen it where it actually outright said, go and attack someone. Go on.
The principles of what I know about Islam is taught that Muslims are never to be aggressive. That Muslim itself, or Islam itself, means peace, and that you're never to be aggressive. But if someone, if you're put in a position where you have to defend your life, self-defense is promoted to the highest level. I don't remember it saying to attack anyone. I've read it from cover to cover on certain times when we had to fast, when it's required of a Muslim at that time, when I wasn't practicing Muslim, where you have to read a certain portion of the Quran. And I can't recall that. And I, to touch on what IQ was saying that before or previously when she was saying the roots of it, is it political or is it religious? I think some of it is religious, but I think the root of it may be religious, or what people have adopted as religion through their culture, but I think the whole situation has been exacerbated by political reasons, by individuals or leaders who have made certain decisions that the people will neither benefit nor have any benefit or have anything good come out of it, and people are left fighting battles that individuals started years ago for their own selfish reasons and used the cover of Islam or the cover of Judaism to perpetrate their own selfish issues, and the descendants of these people are keeping this going on out of culture.
Now, while the conflict in that region has been going on, I mean, for a long time, but in that region in particular, since the early 1900s, mostly with Arab, Muslim region at that time was part of the Ottoman Empire. And starting in 1917, as I said before, the mandate was put in place to be run by the British Empire, and that was enforced. Yes. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were moving into the area as part of the movement called Zionism. In 1947, the United Nations approved that plan that we said before to divide British Palestinians, that whole area for the most part, into two mostly independent countries, one for Jews, one for Israel. One for Jews called Israel, and one for Arabs called Palestine. In the Middle East, and this is the thing to keep in mind, the way that the Arabs and, the other people in that region took that at the time was you have Europeans coming in, dividing up this land and parceling it out. So I think the thing is, who are they to parcel this out to begin with? What do you think, Bob?
That's the problem. If people believe that this land is God's chosen land, then it's for God's chosen people, and I believe all people are God's chosen people. But when man comes inside to divide something, it messes it up. I remember a quote from Karis one that man-made laws made man lost. Now, because you have, when you talk about the Ottoman Empire, you're talking about the Jews being the influx of Jews at that time. You're also talking about the British imperialism ideals at that time also being there. So it wasn't just the Muslims, it wasn't just the Jews, it was that rulership. It was the crown and its influence. And even once that was absent, its influence was there and it was dominating. And some of those ideals come from the relationship between both those people, the Jewish people, the Islamic people, through, to a certain extent, through the lenses of colonialism.
Which can be said about...
God's will. Who is man to tell you what is God's will?
Speaking of what Wise just said, IQ, wouldn't you say that would be the same thing as far as African Americans, where we were conquered a lot of times Africans, they were conquered a lot of times in the name of Christianity, saying they were bringing them to civilization and things like that. So in this case, where you have a state, I mean, it doesn't seem to be much of a respect for the religions in that area that was anything other than Judaism. Would you say that, or would you say that there was a problem with Jews coming into that area, and then there must have been some people who believed that that land, which is supposed to be a holy land, they were entitled to it? I mean, which way do you say that goes?
That's a lot to remember. Well, let me just say that if that's holy land, then that means that, as Rob stated, it's for God's chosen people, which means that if it's holy land, we're supposed to figure out a way to live here in a way with which will be pleasing to God. I don't care what you call them. We should be living here in a way with which is pleasing to God. It should have nothing to do with what flesh tells us we feel as though is the right thing to do. What would God say we're supposed to do? Now, in terms of our brothers and sisters over in Africa, I don't know what it is in terms of the formula that they are using, because regardless to who or what has attempted to invade, within that land, within that country, there always will remain those who are so in love with and so overwhelmed with the love of God and their culture and their traditions that they continue to make sure that the history lives on. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying all of them are peachy keen or all of them have hearts of gold, but at the end of the day, there are people intact and there are people who are rooted and grounded in the foundation that our motherland was laid on. I don't know, like I said, what the formula is, but they really need to figure out how to put it in place over here in this land where the land was divided. Because what God are you serving that there's conflict in terms of who or what it is living where you're living? I don't understand that.
Let me ask you both this, start with you, Wise. The one thing that seems to be a big stone, if we say, because we already know, the political reasons for a lot of the things that's going on there are the primary reasons at this point, okay? You can disagree about religion, how to praise God, about your spirituality. You can disagree on that. But it's hard to disagree about the politics of the region when some people believe that the one group should have this land, another group should have this land, and then all the people in the region are siding with one group, people in the West are siding with another group, and you have this hotbed of conflict that's happening, you know, all the time. So we'll talk about that, you know, a whole lot. But at this point right now, and this is the question for you, at this point right now, do you see things they're getting so bad that it will become non-functionable? In other words, so bad that it can't be fixed.
I would really hate to be the person in existence to have to make that call, but I don't really know. From a biblical standpoint, we're taught that, you know, the end of times is coming and that this is where the end of times is going to start, that the war should be started out in Jerusalem or, you know, what's the land that they're fighting over right now, Israel. Or it's going to be in that area, if I remember correctly. Now, I'm at a loss because this is the whole thing is something I really don't understand, because what I know about Muslims is they're the most peace-loving people on the face of the earth. What I know is about Jewish people, the ones I have had and come in contact with, were some of the most peace-loving, understanding people of the earth. And because of the suffering that they went through, that they dedicated a nice portion of their life so that other people wouldn't have to suffer. What I know personally about Muslims and Jews, they contradict everything that I see on the news. And I've even seen documentaries that have people in the Promised Land who are living together. One of the most famous churches there are run by Muslim and Jews there, or one of the most synagogues, some of the most holy sites there, they do in unity. Sometimes I think, are we just regurgitating the news that we're being fed? Are we just talking about the images that we see? Are we really talking to the people who stay there and who do coexist or on a religious level? Are we dealing with the political infighting? And when we talk about this topic of the conflict between Muslims and Jews, are we really talking about a religious conflict, or are we talking about men who really did their madness and hid it under a cloak of Islam or Judaism, the same way that people are using their madness, like ISIS? When you hear ISIS and they're killing people, they're beheading This is not something that the Quran condones. These are people who are doing certain actions under the umbrella of Islam, but it is not Islamic law. When you see people doing certain things under Judaism, and you hear about the nasty rumors about Jews and they stingy and they're greedy, they're money-grubbing whores or whatever the case is going to be, this is in direct conflict of what Jewish texts and religion is supposed to be. And what I'm having a problem with, especially African-Americans, is we can't recognize the bamboozle when it's coming our way. Like, okay, we went through it, but we can't see the bullshit when it's going on other people. Just the same way they enslaved us in the name of Christianity and say, well, God made niggas to be slaves. I never saw it in the Bible, but we believed it. So are we really going off what the text says from a religious standpoint? Are we just regurgitating stereotypes that's been fed throughout the generations of people who are trying to grab, rob, steal, and kill? Because when we fight each other, these people are allowed to come in and make millions and millions of dollars of profit while we kill each other and spread blood in the name of God. And I never saw this in any text. So I'm kind of confused in a sense.
I'm not confused because the text does say in the Bible that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we know that war makes money. We also know that there are natural resources in that land that are very profitable. And we know that man loves money. So with that being said, are we really talking about spirituality, that conflict here? Or are we talking about the things that we can gain as a result of having control over the land that are the root of the issues over here?
Exactly.
You know, there's a couple of things, you guys, that I just want to touch base on. The first thing is, you know, we're all sitting here, we act like it's not inevitable. Just like you said, Wise, yes, that is the region where the apocalypse is supposed to happen. That is the region. In fact, the Great Wall is there. This is where it's supposed to happen. So, you see all of these people, I mean, let's keep it real. It's not just us, and it's funny when you look at it, and I don't mean funny like in laughter funny, but it's funny because it's very odd because you have all of these nations, and all of them are scared to death because the Bible does say it's going to start there and it's going to be a big war there. What are they trying to do? They're trying to prevent it from happening. They're saying, oh, you can set up two states. But if you set up two states, it says that's going to happen. Like, you're going to set it up, and it's going to be good for, what was it, 3 or 4 years, and then that's when the war starts. It's saying all of these things that they're talking about. And it just seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that all of these things that are unrest might be designed purposely because they want to keep the unrest as long as possible. When everything starts to rest down, if you look at the Bible, it's telling you this is what's going to happen, and that means things are moving in that direction. Now, so the question basically is, do you guys believe that it's designed that way? Because if it's not designed that way, then everything seems to be going according to plan except for having peace in that region. They're trying to negotiate certain things right now, but as far as peace is concerned, it's not there yet. So is it designed to keep it, you know, going the way that it is, rather than have the peace? And in a long term, now it poses towards IQ, for a long term here, just looking at it in those terms, if you don't try to have peace or something like that, a war can break out anyway. So do you believe that this is designed this way?
I honestly don't know what to believe, to be perfectly honest with you, but I do know for a fact that if God said what it is, that's what it's going to be. And so you can do, they can do all that they want. There's not all things that they wish, but his word is going to come to pass. He's a lot of things, but he's not a man that he should lie.
Yeah.
Wise?
I agree with IQ. But the thing about it is that no time out. I believe that man is quoting the whole situation because you have basically anyone who has a religious understanding of what's going on, and you're a devout, whatever you are, you're looking for the end of times. You're trying to make sure that you got your business in order because they keep telling you since I was a kid that Jesus is coming back. Make sure you're being caught doing the right thing. Or even Muslims teach the same thing in their variation. Even Jewish people teach the same thing or similar. The thing about it is that it's a way, a system of controlling people. It's going to happen. When? How? No one really knows. But the thing about it, if you have people in that with that consciousness, you can exploit and manipulate them. And that's what I believe it's being used for. And really, you have two cultures of people who are basically walking on eggshells, because who wants to be the individual who starts the war that ends the world?
Right, exactly. I do want to touch base on this before we head out of here. So at this point right now, we can understand how, and it's real funny that the Jewish nation is backed up by the United States and the allies. Okay? I always look at that and say, okay, these guys are being really bold because they're surrounded by enemies. At any time, these guys can attack them. But they don't, primarily because they know they have the backing of the allies. So they don't. But had they not had the backing of the allies, would the rhetoric still be the same? Would it be the same because spiritually they believe that they can win because they are God's people?
Mm-hmm.
So I always look at that and say, okay, is that the case? Because, I mean, does it aggravates me sometimes, and I want to know, does it aggravate you guys when they talk tough, they attack first for something? And I'm saying they do it all the time. There's people that attack them all the time. But then they go and attack first on something because they know they have this backing. And
yes.
Instead of trying to foster peace in that area, sometimes they're the ones who try to stop it. And, I mean, it goes both ways, but I'm saying specifically from the Jewish perspective. So, I mean, with you guys, when you see that on the news and things like that, and I'll start with you, Wise, does it make you feel frustrated from that standpoint?
You know, I wish I had the permission to speak on behalf of the family of Eric Garner at this moment, because to think that the United States is sitting somewhere fighting for what is correct and what is right when it can't do right on its own is a fucking joke, number one. Number two is that this is two cultures and two people who are historically, religiously, and by bloodline, two cousins. We, as the United States of America, we have no business over there. They should be put in a position to where if we could help, instead of giving financial back to Israel, which we do, which they probably don't even need, but that's just another conversation, we really should be doing or fostering peace talks. That's the part I agree with. But
right.
We're asking someone to keep the peace someplace where they're killing and destroying everywhere else. I don't think their intent is to do that. And I think that we're being lied to and misled again. And who's going to live long enough to say, okay, I finally knew it and I see what they're doing? Are we even going to be around when the truth comes out?
IQ, you got 20 seconds.
Well, I kind of feel like it's like the boy who cried wolf. You know, after a while, we need to really just take a look at why we are even doing the things that we're doing to support them. But I also feel like peace talks may not necessarily be the solution. However, I think we can figure out that they can learn how to agree to disagree. How about you keep your mouth over there? Tell your story walking. We don't need to keep all this madness going on.
All right, and we're going to end it there. Thank you for joining us tonight on Cyber Media Radio. You can hit us up on Facebook at Cyber Media Radio. That's S-I-R-A Media Radio. And on Twitter at Cyber Media Group. Our next week's show is going to be When Did Rap Become Acceptable Over MCing? So definitely tune in for that. For questions and comments, you can email us at smr@cybermedia.com. I want to thank both of you guys for being on, as usual, for holding it down. No doubt, and we will talk to you next week at 6:30 p.m. Remember, God willing, Psalms 37:24. Peace out, y'all.